This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Well, they did it. They did it. The St. Louis Blues are a playoff team again. They made it, everybody. With a win last night, they did away with any having to worry about what Calgary does or any other team does. And they won decisively against the Utah Hockey Club.
They controlled what they could control.
And they sure did, man.
Yeah.
They went to town last night. 6-1 win over Utah. And to talk about the upcoming playoff series against Winnipeg is Lou Korak, who covers the Blues for NHL.com and the Hockey News, an old friend, and he is with us now. What's up, Lou?
Old? Did you just say old?
It was old with an apostrophe.
Lou, yeah, old. Well, also, our good friend Robert Bortuzzo, who may have played his last game last night, didn't he used to call you Tommy Two-Tone?
He did? Maybe.
Wait, what?
Amy, you just caught me with a new... Wow.
That's what.
Did I miss something
Tommy
here?
Tommy Two-Tone.
Whoa.
I thought he did.
Why would he call him that?
I don't know.
Amy, wow.
Did he say you had gray hair?
Wow.
I don't recall that, but maybe you're right. I mean, you may be right.
I guess he did it behind his back, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think he did
it.
I thought he... At any rate...
You are so
awkward. We have a new segue here, right?
I feel terrible. Well, at any rate, maybe he didn't call you that. I don't know. Robert Bortuzzo and, he was a jokester. He roomed with Joey Vitale and Scranton. They had all kinds of stories together.
Yeah, he's one of the best. I'll be honest with you. It's if that was it for him last night, I think it's a fitting way to go out because, you know, of all the places that he played, you know, this is home to him. Even though he's a Thunder Bay, Ontario boy. And I mean, he had his parents, I think they said that's a 1,400-mile drive, if I'm not mistaken. His parents drove down last night to be at the game.
Right.
Dedication.
When they said they drove down, my first thought was the plane broken? What happened?
Yeah.
Because that is no joke.
I wanted to catch him after the game, and I'm really sorry that I didn't, but he was in the Blues players' lounge last night, and I had mentioned that. I mean, it just goes to show you. I mean, here's a guy that just played with Utah last night, but he's in there mingling with Blues players and spouses and whatnot. It just goes to tell you just what he means to a lot of these guys in that locker room. And there's some of them that he doesn't know, but I mean, he was one of the fan favorites. But I wanted to ask him, buddy, could you not spare a plane ticket for your parents or what?
Right. I think he's doing okay for himself. I mean, yeah. He had a nice little career there in the NHL, including a Stanley Cup championship with the Blues. Lou, and I know before I threw us off with Tommy Two-Tone, before I messed it all up, this team, looking at what they've done since the Four Nations Cup, going into the playoffs now against none other than the Winnipeg Jets in round one, are there any similarities or differences that stand out to you between this team and the 2019 team? Because we're all stuck on that 2019 team.
Well, just the fact that they pulled off a franchise record winning streak. And I know a lot of people want to make comparisons. And I guess if you dissect it and if you really sit down and thought about it and looked at it, you could probably find some similarities there. But to me, it kind of starts and stops there because, you know, that 2019 team was expected to win from the get-go. And when they came out and quite frankly, they stunk it up for what, the first 2.5, 3 months? Mm-hmm. And, you know, last place in the league, talking about what, turn of the calendar into January, it was January 3rd. They're, you know, you look down, there's nobody below you. So that team was expected to win with the moves that Doug Armstrong made. And when it didn't work out, something needed to change. And, you know, that they just kind of finally started playing up to their capabilities. But this group, you didn't really know. I mean, were the possibilities there? Sure. But if they didn't make it, I think you could kind of understand. And I think just the general feeling was, can they continue to progress over the last couple of years? Yes, last 2 years were non-playoff years, but can they continue to take those steps when they talk about retooling a roster? And then, you know, you go on that 12-game winning streak, you know, and they topple the winning streak of quite honestly, and coincidentally, that team that set it in the first place, that's just kind of where it starts and stops with me, because there's a lot of younger players on this team that have really helped carry the load. It's a mix of veterans and young guys. And when I talk about the young guys, I mean, look at what a great night for Jimmy Snuggerud to get his first NHL goal and in the most meaningful game of his young career, and Zach Bolduc knocking on the door of 20 goals. And I thought a couple different times he was going to get it and just fell short. And then you talk about the growth of Philip Broberg and some of the others that have really stepped into this and helped contribute to what's going on here. That's just kind of where it starts and stops with me. But I think if you want to make any similarities, I think a good spot to start with is that WTF line with Faxa, Toropchenko, and Walker. It sort of reminds you the way they play, just abrasive, in-your-face, physical, checking, kind of like that fourth line that the Blues had back in 2019 with, what was that, Amy? I think it was Steen, Barbashev, mm-hmm. and Sundqvist. So, you know, other than that, they've kind of been built differently, but, you know, kind of going on similar paths here in order to get into the playoffs. And, a common first-round opponent. It was Winnipeg in 2019. It's going to be Winnipeg again.
So let's say they are to potentially win a series against Winnipeg. How would they have to do it?
Oh, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to grind it out. I mean, you're going to be looking at, to have success, you're probably going to be looking at a lot of 2-1, 3-2 kind of games where you're just going to have to ground and pound. You hear that all the time. It's going to be a physical. It's going to be a bruising series. Winnipeg is big. They're strong. They don't give you a whole lot of ice in the middle. And I think you witnessed that when the Blues were just up there, what, 8 days ago, 9 days ago? And that was the team that ended their 12-game winning streak and might have been one of the best games that Winnipeg has played here in the last little stretch. They had a blueprint. They stuck to it. And even in saying that, I know it was a 3-1 game, but they got an empty netter late. That's a one goal game. And I, you know, the Blues have lost 3 out of 4 against the Jets going 1-2-1, But every game has been a one-goal game. And I discount the empty netters, and I know it counts for stats purposes and whatnot, but they've all been one-goal games. So that's what you need to expect. I think you just have to be patient and find, you know, bide your opportunity. You're going to have to play your best. I mean, last night was a great blueprint, especially at the start of that game. And I don't know how much of the game you guys were able to watch, but if you guys watched, Jim Montgomery said after the game, I knew after the first 8 minutes we were going to win that game. And they played north. They played in your face. They checked. They were aggressive. That's how you're going to have to play against the Jets, too, if you're going to have some success.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Jets are a heavy forechecking team. They're aggressive. They take it to you. And if you get hemmed in by the Jets, you're just not going to get the opportunities, the quality opportunities that you're going to need to score on Connor Hellebuyck. I think last night, too, what I liked to see in that Blues win was three power play goals. In the playoffs, Lou, you know you have to be able to score on the power play. That was their death in 2016-17 when they went out in the first round. They couldn't score on the power play.
Yeah, you know, you hear coaches talk about it all the time. Special teams make all the difference in the world. And, I mean, they outscored Utah 3-1 in that category last night. And ultimately, you know, I think the power play was kind of the icing on the cake because – I mean, they just came out like a buzzsaw playing 5-on-5 in that game. And then you get those – you create your power play opportunities, Amy. You know that. And then watching the game, I mean, the way they were skating and what Utah wasn't expecting from them, the Blues forced a lot of those opportunities to get on the man advantage. And once you get on the man advantage, you got to take advantage of it. And they certainly did. And I think the only slip up they had was when they had the 5-on-3 for a minute and six and really didn't produce much. But at 5-on-4, they were fantastic in that game. But yeah, I mean, if you get power play opportunities against Winnipeg, you're going to have to take advantage of them as many as you can, because 5-on-5, it's going to be tough sledding for both of these teams.
Blues and Jets are coming up on the road in Winnipeg. We don't know the exact day yet. We'll find that out tomorrow. Lou Korak covering the Blues. Thank you again, friend.
Thank you both. Take care.
That is Lou Korak, Blues writer for NHL.com and the Hockey News.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
A swing and a miss. A slider strikes out Walker. This ballgame has come to an end. Hader gets the save, the win to Hunter Brown, and Houston even up the series at a game apiece, shutting out the Cardinals 2-0.
So far, the Cardinals and the Astros have tied in this series. The rubber match is today. They will try to win it. It is a 12:15 first pitch and an 11:20 pregame show. So we are just over an hour away from Cardinals pregame today. It is time to go to the guest line, and we welcome in the voice of the Cardinals you just heard right there. It is John Rooney who will have the call today. What's going on, John?
Well, beautiful day here. I think we're going to have some weather.
Uh-oh.
Because it's weather day. The weather we have is very nice, very pleasant, 57 degrees up on the scoreboard, the ribbon board above the bullpens, and a few wispy clouds. See downtown, we're in the flight pattern for Lambert with planes coming over, and the kids are screaming and yelling as they're making some kind of volcano down there or something.
They're making a volcano?
They're demonstrating weather and patterns and something and another, and the kids are into it and having a great time.
Yeah, don't do that thing where you say we're going to have weather, because I thought it was going to be sunny all day, and then you made me worried.
We have weather every day, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's got a point, Ron.
It's true, but when people say, I got weather, it's like saying, I have a back. He means I have a bad back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about since a week back.
How long's that been going on?
Yeah, exactly.
So the Cardinals are playing
I can't see. I can't see. Why? I have my eyes closed. You know, that's right out of the Three Stooges.
The Stooges. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Not the Stooges.
I love the Stooges.
Oh, who doesn't?
I think Amy? It might be more of a guy thing. I hope that's not rude to say that. But I think it's more. I think the Stooges.
I think it's very rude.
Yeah. It's super. Thank you, John. John, you are right. That is so rude, Amy.
My dad likes it.
Yeah. I
mean, you can laugh at it. It's okay. We won't hold it against you.
One of my favorites was they were hiding from somebody, and there was a lion directly behind them. And I think it was Mo and Shemp. And the lion is breathing on Mo's neck, and they don't know it's right behind him. And Mo says, quit breathing down my neck. And Shemp says, I ain't breathing.
Of course not.
Come on. The Stooges are the best. All right.
That reminds me of a story when KMOX started Sports Open Line. They didn't have, like, the mix minus to go through the microphone, and I think it was Jim Butler who had to hold the phone to his ear and then, you know, talk over the phone to go on the air taking calls. And you could hear him breathing. I guess Mr. Hyland called up the engineer in the booth. Tell him to stop breathing.
That's the best. That is so good.
You know, whatever.
All right, John. You know, this team is playing a whole lot better baseball. We know they lost last night. That is going to happen.
Ran into a good pitcher last night.
Hunter Brown
was just that much better than Eric Fetty. And Fetty got into a lot of trouble and got out of it, and I thought he pitched a terrific game, but just didn't get any run support. Two innings where the Cardinals had second and third and couldn't even get a run, and when Alvarez hit his home run late in the game, it felt like a 20-0 score. Just one of those games, and kind of like the game that Christopher Sanchez pitched on Saturday for Philadelphia. But the Cardinals bounced back, won the next day, and that's what they'll try to do today against Ronel Blanco. And it's going to be Steven Matz making his first start after appearing out of the bullpen and looking very good to open up 2025.
Well, one thing the Cardinals have done, though, up until last night, is they have had really good success against good pitching in the last couple of weeks.
That they have against the top name pitchers, and I think you're going to have a reputation growing big time for Sanchez and for Hunter Brown, too, the way they attack the strike zone and move it around, up, down, in, out, changing speeds. it was a good performance last night. But again, Eric Fetty, who threw six no-hit innings at Pittsburgh, his last outing, and to look at his line, six innings, six hits, one run earned. He walked three, struck out five, and worked around those walks. But it was a lead double by Jeremy Peña in the sixth inning. A great diving catch by Jordan Walker in right field. He made two really good plays back-to-back. He caught the ball that Diaz hit, but Jake Meyer's third hit just dropped in front of Walker. He caught it on a bounce, got up, made a good throw to the plate, but Peña had a good break for the plate and scored the first run, and as it turned out, that's all they needed. But I can't rave enough about Jordan Walker and his improvement in the outfield, and really the outfield play overall by the Cardinals so far early in the season has been terrific.
Yeah, Walker's defense has not gone unnoticed in just how much improvement there has been. And it is noticeable, John, when you watch him play. It's, I mean, you can tell he looks a lot more comfortable than maybe he did last year.
Well, it's the routes he takes, the way he goes about his business. And John Jay is holding all of the outfielders accountable for what they do. He doesn't want them taking one pitch a game off. Pay attention. Be in the game. Be in the moment. So far they are, and man, is it showing up big time.
The Cardinals are going to need that defense for sure this season to help out the pitching staff. And you mentioned Steven Matz, who is getting the start, as the Cardinals are, you know, sort of going to that sixth-man rotation kind of situation, which is not typical. It does happen, but it's atypical. So how do you think they want to treat him, or what is the expectation for how he's going to be treated as a starter? Just like any other starter, if he wants to go eight, he can?
I don't know if he can go eight, but he's stretched out, and he can hopefully get a little deeper into the game, go five or six for sure, if that's possible. And the Cardinals made a move today with Rodery Munoz going back down, and they called up Matt Svensson, who has been closing and looked really good in the Arizona Fall League. And so he's on the roster today and available out of the bullpen, as the Cardinals are with the six-man rotation, man short in the bullpen.
Well, first of all, it sounds like that volcano down there is a hit.
They're having a great time. I don't know if, they're building a tornado now or what.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're working on down there. But Fred Bird's right in the middle of it, and he's really stirring them up. So, we have weather today.
Yeah, no weather day kidding. At the park. Hey, John, I know there's been a lot of talk about what to expect or not to expect from this Cardinals team. Obviously, some uncertainty with what they'll be at the end of the season. But I think, to me, they're a fun team to watch, and a big reason is because they're young. There's guys out there growing, proving themselves. It's not like they're all known commodities who've been in the league a long time, and it is what it is. I think what makes it so exciting is the youth, and the youth means that the cap isn't what you think it might be.
Well, these guys were good to get drafted to begin with, or to be signed, or to be on a major league roster. And the word out of spring training was for Walker, for Wynn, for Lars Nootbaar, certainly Victor Scott II, Pedro Pajes, for Ivan Herrera, and now for Joel Pozo, who's going to be catching in the game today. You have a runway. Just because you make a mistake or two, you're not out of here. And you have a runway, so take that and perform. And what they've done is improve, where they're not in danger of being sent down to Memphis because they played so well. And I like the habit that they're in at the plate. It doesn't seem to matter if the Cardinals are ahead or they're behind. These guys go in there and try to give a good at bat, a good performance, a good accounting of themselves every time they step in. And so far, that's working. That's what makes this team exciting. They give themselves a chance. Didn't work out on Saturday. They grounded into five double plays, lost to Sanchez and the Phillies, grounded in some more double plays last night, and losing to Hunter Brown. But they'll go after the Roel Blanco today and try to win two out of three, and you end up winning four out of six on the homestand the way the Cardinals did the opening homestand by sweeping Minnesota and taking a game in the three-game series with the Angels. Then I'd say you're ready to go back on the road and face a really good New York Mets team and then face a Braves team that is still trying to find its identity. So you take the game in front of you today, and that's what the guys are doing, and I think that's why they're playing very exciting baseball.
All right, John, we will let you get back to it. You can learn a thing or two about the weather. You can answer the phone. Try to calm down the screaming children. There's a lot going on at the ballpark right now, so we'll let you get to it.
There's much going on, but back to the lineup card as we get started. First pitch today thrown by Steven Matz, 12:15.
12:15 it is. John Rooney, we'll talk to you soon, and we'll hear from you soon. The pregame show starts at 11:20, so we are less than an hour away from Cardinals programming here on KMOX, and the first pitch is happening at 12:15 today. That's right. Steven Matz is in the starting rotation, so here we go. If there's anything we are other than negligent, I don't know what it is. On the Chris and Amy show. And we are doing the Tournament of Negligence because we were a bit negligent in our Mott's Madness Pizza Tournament. There were some discrepancies. There was some oversight. There were some issues. And in order to make up for it, we have started the Tournament of Negligence.
Don't!
And it turns out that we were negligent in our Tournament of Negligence as well.
I think that's fitting.
Yeah. So we are on to now the third round of the tournament because the second round has been decided, and we will tell you what the results are. But basically, in setting up our tournament, in the field...
Yes.
We had it set up. On both sides of the bracket.
We is doing a lot of work here.
Well, one person set up the bracket.
Who?
You.
Oh.
One person set up the bracket in such a way that the first and second seeds in our... We had 32 entries into the tournament. Our first and second seeds, if they won their first round matchups, would face each other in the next round. That is not how tournaments work.
Well, yeah, you never know.
No, they just
don't.
Does
it take math, though, to figure that out?
Yeah, it takes some math.
Lots of math. Calculus, yeah. I think.
Calculus, yeah. We screwed it up. But anyway, the tournament rolls on anyway. It's a seeding negligence. That's what it is.
Would it... I feel like the Tournament of Negligence is more complete because we were negligent in crafting the tournament itself.
We have to tell you, and this is, you know, we screwed up the Sandwich Pascandal.
We did.
We screwed up the Mott's Madness tournament.
We did.
We're screwing this up.
Yeah.
Swear to God, none of this intentional. Not a bit of this was done on purpose.
I think if anybody knows either of us personally, they pretty much know it was not intentional.
Oh, yeah.
My mom used to kind of get frustrated with me because I found a way to break things or forget things pretty frequently, even random, like curtains. How do you rip curtains? She had some pretty lace curtains, and somehow, I don't know, I set a mirror down, and the mirror caught the curtain. Long story short, she said, Amy, you know, if these were your items, you wouldn't forget them or you wouldn't break them. I go, no, I promise I'm trying. So anyway, fast forward, where I'm in my own apartment, living alone, breaking my own stuff at a much higher frequency. And she said, oh my gosh, all those years that was you trying.
Yeah.
You really were trying.
Yeah.
You were trying to be careful. You were trying not to be forgetful. That was your best effort.
Yeah. So with the two of us, there's a, I wouldn't say I'm clumsy, but I am forgetful.
I'm forgetful to the point that I do worry that there isn't some...
Early onset?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
We're never going to know.
Nope.
We're never going to be able to diagnose
nope.
it early.
That's right. When I'm older and I'm having it for real, people think, well, that's just how he is. He always forgets stuff.
Yeah. I mean, but you don't just forget it. I'll remind you. Remember, we did this. You said this. We interviewed this guest.
Do you know how many times I leave my place and have to go back in immediately to get something that I've forgotten?
80% of the time.
It's at least 70.
Do you know what's frustrating with that?
I will leave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, damn. I go back in and get the thing, and then I'll leave and then forget something else and have to go back and get it.
That's why I could never live in a high rise. I would be so late for work because I would have to go all the way down to my car, across the street, to the garage, back across the street, back up the elevator and back down.
But
I don't have time for that.
Usually, Amy, I forget about it. I remember four or five steps from the door. So,
oh, wow. But no, still, mine's at the car.
Yeah, this it's pretty bad. Anyway, the Tournament of Negligence rolls on, so we'll tell you what the matchups were, who won,
okay,
and then who they're going to face. So the number one seed, forgetting your child is in the car,
mm-hmm,
has defeated leaving the stove on. And there were votes for leaving the stove on, by the way.
Did you vote?
it was before I even voted, there were people who had weighed in, and some people had chosen leaving the stove on over forgetting your child in the car.
I think I voted for leaving the stove on.
Did you?
Well, because you could burn down
your
house.
You could burn down a house, and you could start a fire that destroys the neighborhood.
Right.
So, forgetting your child is in the car plays the winner of having your power shut off and not having car insurance. Well, the four seed, not having car insurance, has advanced. So forgetting your child is in the car goes up against not having car insurance.
And a number 12 seed, leaving your fly unzipped, took on number 11 seed, accidentally taking nursing classes while your circuit attorney...
Well, that wasn't an accident.
It was negligent. Taking nursing classes as circuit attorney has beaten leaving your fly unzipped. It will take on forgetting birth control. Forgetting birth control defeated letting your license plates expire. I could see how one is more reversible than the other.
Well, this is letting your license expire.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Letting your license expire.
Now, have you ever had your license expire? Like, I've done this.
Yeah.
Where I've forgotten,
uh-huh,
because it expires on your birthday, whatever year it is. And I took a plane trip like 4 or 5 days later, and I just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
I didn't think about the fact it was about to expire. And then I am going through security, and they're like, your ID's expired, you know? And I said, no, I didn't.
Oh,
they made me
go
through extra security, and they really searched me for bomb residue. Like, they swabbed my hands with cotton and then put it through a machine.
If he's the kind of guy that would let his license expire, he's probably a guy that might try to blow up a plane.
Yeah, that's right. Like, somebody who's going to do a terrorist thing, if I'm going to do terrorism, I'm going to have all of my ducks in a row first. Because I don't want to be checked. Right? Isn't that like...
Yes.
You want to make sure that everything is in order.
Yeah.
You've gone over the plan over and over again. You don't leave your license up for expiration.
Unless maybe they thought that you were so obsessed planning that horrific event that you forgot and let your license expire.
Yeah. So. That's not how terrorism works. That's not how I do it.
Oh my gosh. He's joking. He's not a terrorist.
I'm not a terrorist. Yet. Okay.
No.
The number one seed, failing to do your taxes.
Yeah.
Up against not brushing your teeth.
Uh-huh.
Which is very negligent, because if you don't brush your teeth, there was just another story about this today. Especially at night. You know, you want to brush in the morning, but you need to brush at night because it can lead to heart issues.
Oh my gosh. I heard a story of a man who went to the dentist for the first time in, say, 15, 20 years. And he had so much plaque that when they cleaned his teeth, he died.
Oh, what?
I promise.
Really?
Yeah. It was a heart thing. I've been terrified of it ever since.
Yeah. Like, bacteria and whatnot can get into your bloodstream through your gums.
Yep.
And it's so you have to.
That's what happened is, like, I think his gums were bleeding and he had plaque and bacteria and he died. And
brush your teeth at night.
And go to the dentist. I think that is a story that is up there because, you know, my three biggest fears are gum disease, mold and mildew, and going to prison for a crime I didn't commit. And really, the gum disease is that's part of it, going to the dentist and dying.
Well, failing to do taxes, the one seed defeated not brushing your teeth. I think there's an argument to be made that not brushing your teeth is more dangerous, but
you also announced that you're not doing your taxes this year.
So failing to do taxes has advanced. It now faces the four seed, not flushing the toilet. Not flushing the toilet defeated not wearing a seatbelt.
Wow. One could kill you.
One could definitely kill you. The other one just...
is gross.
People just don't want to feel gross at home. That's why they picked not flushing the toilet.
So
failing to do taxes goes up against not flushing the toilet.
This is a pretty, I think this is an upset. Number 12, dropping your child into the gorilla pit, RIP Harambe.
Mm-hmm.
Defeated number 11, leaving the snow unplowed as mayor.
I'm not surprised by this. Dropping your child in a zoo enclosure is super negligent.
Well, John Hancock almost dropped little Johnny into Big Cat Country. Yeah. So anyway, dropping your child into the gorilla pit, RIP Harambe, will take on not renewing your license plates. A number 8 seed that defeated the number 10 seed, merging without using your blinker.
I think this is a bad result, too.
Really?
Merging without using a blinker is so negligent and dangerous on the road.
What about in a zipper merge when they have no choice but to merge? You know they're merging. It's a zipper.
Well, no, people put their blinker on for that, too. So it's just, it's dangerous because if you're not expecting a car to do that and then they just pop into your lane, they just introduce themselves without telling you first.
Yeah.
That's, you can cause a wreck. But anyway, it didn't win. Not renewing your license plates does. So we have four matchups that are going on right now that you can vote on, but you have to follow us on Twitter at ChrisAmyKMOX. So click the follow button, go there, and you have the opportunity to vote for each of these matchups. So
I mean, these are good matchups.
For getting your child in the car versus not having car insurance, taking nursing classes while being the circuit attorney versus forgetting birth control. It is failing to do taxes, taking on not flushing the toilet, and dropping your child into the zoo enclosure versus not renewing your license plates. So those are your four matchups.
Really good matchups. I will say, I don't think this is negligence, but it could be negligence if I don't get it fixed. I sat down today, and when I sat down in the chair at work, like a cartoon, my button popped off my pants that's holding my pants closed, so I just have the zipper, but the little hook and latch holding my trousers up, it broke.
Well, you doing okay?
Well, I mean, they are a little snug. That's the thing. I think it was my belly. It was my stomach because they feel snug. And when I sat down, I felt a pop. And my pants went bloop.
Well, Amy.
What?
Welcome to the real world.
Well, now I wonder how long it will be before I fix these pants. You know, I feel like I'm going to put them on and forget. And they go, oh, now I got to wear different pants. Anyway, I'm holding them closed right now.
We have tickets to give away to see the Battle Hawks play. We are going to give those away at some point before the show is over. And that's not long from now. 30 minutes before we get to Cardinals pregame, actually 35 minutes before the pregame show starts, then they will finish up the series against the Houston Astros. It's Chris Ronji and Chubbs, Chris and Amy show.
Chubbs McGee. Chubbs McGee.
Oh, we're going to bring back the egg beat. We have an egg beat story for you.
Okay, good.
That's coming up next on 104.1 FM.
I think the far left politicians are going to destroy a great American car company. It's unfortunate. It's one of the most American-made cars. Almost all the parts are made in America, and they're going to destroy it. It's really unfortunate. Thousands of Americans are going to lose their jobs because of it.
Well, it's good that you're worried about people losing their jobs. I would hope that you're worried about all the jobs that Elon Musk has cut in the federal government, because those people have jobs. And I trust, Rick, and we appreciate your voice message. But I also trust that you felt the same way when everybody was boycotting Bud Light, because Anheuser-Busch is a good American company based right here in St. Louis. I know they're part of InBev now, but it's still made here. It's made here. It's right down the road.
And worth noting.
I can go down and smell it.
And worth noting when Elon Musk bought Twitter, he fired a lot of people.
Yeah.
On the spot.
And it runs very poorly, much worse than it used to.
And those, I know it's hard to quote unquote feel sorry for anyone working in tech because I get it. The tech world, when I think of tech, I think of Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg and Sam Altman and all of these soulless people. However, the people that work for their companies, they're just normal Americans. Well, yep. Like our caller said, that work for Tesla.
Most the federal people, government employees are just regular people.
Well, yeah, but the people who work for Tesla are regular people. Right. And even a lot of the people who worked for Twitter, these aren't the owners.
Right.
This is just the people who are in tech, who are in computers, who are in IT. They lost their jobs, too.
So it's, look, I hope that, and Rick is more than welcome to have that opinion, and a lot of people probably agree with him. I just hope he has the exact same opinion for federal workers who are just regular people. The vast majority of people who work for the federal government are your neighbors. They're people like us.
Well,
they're not like higher ups. They're not executives. They're not, they're not like in Congress, right? They're just regular people.
A friend of mine's son in engineering and got an intern position with SpaceX. And the parents were talking to him about it. Like, okay, well, are you excited about that? Does it bother you that it's Elon Musk? And he said, I just need a job.
Yeah.
I just need a job. And so there are a lot of people working at SpaceX, at Tesla, at Twitter, and as Ronch mentioned, the different government entities, they just want a job.
Right.
They need a salary. They need a paycheck.
Yeah.
And so you do need to separate a lot of times the worker from the boss.
Yeah. So and if you have sorrow for people with Tesla who might end up losing their jobs. And by the way, if that happens, that is squarely on Elon Musk. He didn't have to be this. He didn't have to get involved in government. He didn't have to do all this stuff. He didn't have to take it upon himself to slash hundreds of thousands of jobs and insert himself into our government with all of his money. He didn't have to do any of that. He could have just kept being Elon Musk of Tesla and SpaceX, and his companies would be doing just fine right now. This is squarely on his shoulders. He did this.
I will
not anybody else.
Say this. I'm sure we're going to talk about this more at length. I want to, but I'm still gathering my thoughts. Please read the profile in the Wall Street Journal. The tactics Elon Musk uses to manage his legion of babies and their mothers. Yes, he calls it a legion of babies and their mothers. He thinks that low birth rates are the end of the world. But I get it. We need more birth rates, pronatalism and all of that. But his idea is it bothers him that third world countries are having babies. He thinks, and this is his philosophy, quote unquote, smart people should have babies. So he has sex with and donates sperm to as many women as he can that he thinks are smart. He obviously assumes he's a genius. And so he has fathered at least, 17 kids, but a lot of people think the number is higher. Several of his close confidants have said the number is higher. And I actually almost threw up a bit in my mouth reading this story about what a perverted and evil view of fatherhood, of having kids. He looks at humans like machines. He definitely seems like a guy who would be into genetic engineering of kids. But the way he has a handler to deal with and pay off all of these women, he'll solicit them on Twitter. Hey, you're smart. Do you want my sperm to father my child? He might be the grossest person I've ever read about.
Look, I hope that people are okay, and I don't want to see people lose their jobs, but I can't reiterate enough. He's at fault. It's his fault. If he could have just kept being the tech guy, the brilliant tech guy, he could have just done all that, but he chose not to. That's on him. Amy Marks-Kors, Chris Ranji, and people that work for him suffer as a result, which sucks for them.
I know, and I'm totally sorry. I changed the subject because he's on my mind because I read this story.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.